Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm just trying to decide if I want to read the whole thing or not. Well, it's hard to overlook any part of it. I think I'll read down to verse 10. I don't think I'll get to the whole chapter anyway today. So we'll read down to verse 10 in Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do thank you for your word to us this afternoon. Do open our hearts to receive those things that you would impress upon us. And pray, Lord, that you would bless that the ministry of the word may go forth today in the power of the Spirit of God and for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we do pray and ask your blessing. Amen. The just shall live by faith. If we might just turn back to Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 38 and 39 just for a moment and read those words, as they are the closing words in chapter 10. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The just shall live by faith. As we come to Hebrews chapter 11, the wonderful chapter which speaks of faith and of those great patriarchs of faith, we understand that to say that statement that the just shall live by faith, and then to move on into chapter 11, is to underscore all those of the Old Testament who truly did march on down that road of faith to glorify God and to honor God concerning his word. And that is where we are today as the beloved of God, that we are to continue in that same path of which the previous patriarchs of faith did walk and did honor God and did speak for the glory of God. That all these things concerning Christ, we must believe that God is a rewarder of those who believe in him. And so as we look to the 11th chapter, we find that we begin with this great superiority of faith that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, by the very blood of Christ. Now let us just reflect a little bit upon chapter, the whole book of Hebrews here, and say this, that now that we understand that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, let us also walk in faith. Let us remember that we cannot let any of these things slip which have been given unto us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come boldly before the throne of grace to find grace and help in time of need. We must realize that Jesus Christ is not only the way, the truth, and the life, but that He is the author and finisher of our faith. We must realize that Jesus Christ is the one who came to provide the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. We must realize that Jesus Christ is the one who is our high priest, and that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace through the person and work of Jesus Christ, and there have access unto that throne of grace. We can come unto the Lord in prayer. He is our mediator. And so as we come to the 11th chapter, we find this great way of faith being explained to us by illustration and by example, that these who walked in faith before us are those who also believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was that one who would come, which was promised of old, and that God would send him forth in the process of time, that he would be born of a virgin, that he would be the promised seed of Abraham, that he would bring in that eternal kingdom and that eternal righteousness which is of God alone. And so as we read the very first verse, we find that the premise for this faith is established. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As we said here this afternoon, and as we come together in faith, in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ in all these things which have been expounded to us, we believe that God is truly a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And we find that faith is this intangible element which God has so wonderfully authored within us through the Lord Jesus Christ. That there can be no faith but by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that faith is truly the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so as we reach out into the real world and lay our hand upon certain substance, that is not faith. But faith is that which God alone offers in the hearts and lives of those He calls unto Himself. And faith then is that which produces substance within us. Faith that causes us to live for Christ. Faith that causes us to walk in Christ, and faith that causes us to live for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we just want to reflect upon these things as we take up this great chapter and speak of these men and women who walked in faith before us, and those who did walk in the way of faith, even as you and I must walk in the way of faith. First of all, for by it the elders obtained a good report. We find that there is no good report, if you will. There is no honorable way to walk for the believer unless it is by faith. If we walk in our own judgments and our own understanding, we know that we fall short. As all men fall short of the glory of God, there is none righteous, no, not one. But we know that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity to not only live for the glory of God, but to work out in our lives that salvation which God alone offers within us. And so the elders in the Old Testament, those patriarchs of faith, they obtained their good report by also believing on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Now, how did they do that? But that God Himself revealed to them the way of faith. It is said of Abraham that he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness' sake. And we find that it is said of those patriarchs which did walk in faith that each of them obtained a good report by faith. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Just as faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, when we look at the material world, we do not look at it scientifically to prove that God created it. No, but rather we look at it through faith to know that God created it. Because God is the creator, and that no one was there in the beginning to verify whether God created or whether God didn't create. Just as no one was there in the beginning to verify the theory of evolution. And so both must be accepted upon the basis of faith. Even those theorists which propagate, such as the evolutionary concept, there is no way to prove evolution. They still cannot prove it. It will never be proven because there is truly no future evolution taking place within the species. And we find that the scriptures records for us that God created. And because God created, he brought all life into existence, and he established his pattern, his example, and the way of life that it should continue. And we find that God is the author and finisher of life. He is the creator of all things. And how do we know this? But by faith. Faith is that which authenticates the very things that we see and know. And faith is established in the heart of man through the Word of God, as Romans 10:17 tells us, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so it is that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Not only this world, but all worlds. As you look up in the starry heavens and the worlds stand before us as a great mass of stars and spheres within the starry heavens above, God is the creator of them. And all things were created by God. And as it were, the literal ages were planned by the very Word of God, as God himself spoke those things into existence. This is the true aspect of faith which we believe, that God fashioned all these things according to his word and according to his plan and his purposes, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. As no thing can be made of itself apart from God, it takes God to create the things that were made. Matter did not just come into existence all by itself, nor did anyone crawl up out of the slimy soup of a swamp and turn into a creature that was able to grow legs and stand up and move along like a human being, and then finally evolve into some kind of a civilized man and society. No, God created all things according to his word and according to his power. This is what the Word of God says. It takes faith to believe it, and only those who believe it by faith can know it. Because the world, to them, it is only foolishness. But to us who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Do not look to science to do anything more than to corroborate what God created. The complexity of creation is there. The fact that God created can only be proven by the aspect that all things are created with design. And so there must be a designer. There must be a creator with an intellectual design. No more than we can take parts and throw them into a bucket and then throw them up in the air and they will come out a created thing. But we find God himself is the one who spoke these things into existence. And God is truly the God of all creation. God is the one who provides faith that we might believe that all things were created by Him. God is the one who provides faith that we might know that all the ages are planned and purposed in the heart and mind of God. In other words, He is a sovereign God. And then thirdly, as we look at these various characters of faith in the Old Testament, instances whereby faith was proven in the hearts and lives of people, the first one we see here is Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. When we look at the person of Cain and Abel, we find that they stand out as, of course, those two first mentions within the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, that Cain and Abel were brothers, children or sons of Adam and Eve. And we find that they are just as opposite as day and night in their deportment or conduct as it related to the way of faith. We find that Abel was a man who is instructed of his father to offer sacrifice according to the will of God and the purpose of God, to offer up the animal sacrifice and in type to show forth the atonement through the sacrifice of an animal for the sins which they knew so well. And yet we find Cain does not offer up the animal sacrifice as his brother Abel did, but rather that Cain chooses his own way to offer up sacrifices, and he takes of the vegetables of his garden, of that fruit of the vine which he did produce, and he offers that up, but we find that it is not acceptable with God. But we find that it says of Abel, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. A sacrifice that was within the plan and purpose of God, the will of God, to show forth the atonement for sins by the blood or the offering up of an animal. By faith which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Also we see that this is in great contrast to the way of Cain. Cain did not prove that he was righteous, but rather he followed a different pattern. And his conduct revealed that his life was not right with God, as was his brother's. And so it was that Cain was not righteous in his life, but rather Abel was righteous in his life, and he offered that witness before God, and it showed his righteousness. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. The testimony of righteous Abel continues. The testimony and witness of his sacrifice continues. The testimony of his life continues. And by even those things which he did in that short period of time, we might say, while he was living, that testimony of him continued on. We may ask the question, will our life of faith be as righteous? Will it continue to be a testimony for God after we are gone? Will we be able to set forth a witness that is a righteous witness for God? That is a witness that shows the justification by faith, that the just shall live by faith. And it is something we should reflect upon, that whether others will view our lives after we have passed, and will our lives really give that testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we walked by faith and that we lived by faith and that we showed a life of faith, of righteousness by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our testimony will speak for us. And then we find here the next person that is mentioned is Enoch. He says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. I guess one of the most unique situations that we find in the early book of Genesis is this, that Enoch was translated, that he was taken up. Some see his testimony as being that of a type of the church and how the church should be raptured out of this world. But beyond that, we may look at it at face value and say that Enoch was in such a close relationship with God that God was pleased to take him and to have fellowship with him evidently at a very early age in his life. That Enoch walked with God, that Enoch pleased God, that Enoch loved God, that Enoch had a testimony for God. I think this shows to us that the kind of life that truly is blessed of God is a life that is lived walking close to the Lord. It is a life that pleases God because we are not only living a life of faith, but we are seeking to live at a near relationship to God. And Enoch was such a man that he walked as close to God, that God took him, that God translated him, that God took him up to be with him. And that relationship was one which speaks volumes to us of what it means to have such a close relationship with God and such a close fellowship with God that we would have that kind of a blessing from the Lord, that we could be in the presence of the Lord at any time because God is ready to take us. We might wonder that perhaps sometimes God leaves us a little bit longer that he might purify us much more of the dross which is yet within us. For it is true that sometimes God takes some very early and others are left behind. And we may wonder at that, why that is the case. But we find that if there is any indication of that in the righteous, perhaps Enoch is it as far as an example, that he was so right with God and so much pleasing to God that God took him, that God translated him. And remember, this is a walk of faith that we are talking about. A life of faith, a walk of faith, a true attitude of faith, one which is given over to God and not like unto other men, but in close relationship to God and in fellowship with God. And Enoch was such a man. But without faith it is impossible to please him, verse 6, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we find that faith is that subject which continues to be brought back into the spotlight, into this chapter. Moreover than simply the names of people who are given to us, faith is that true focus that God is putting our hearts and minds onto here in this chapter. Faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for. Faith, that thing, that element, that belief, that conviction, that confidence that we have that God created the world and planned everything in the world. Faith, that true driving force behind individuals such as Abel and such as Enoch that caused them to live righteously and holy before God. And faith is that which did compel them to have a near relationship to God. And so near a relationship that there was nothing else that stood in its way, especially as we consider Enoch, who became so closely aligned to God that God simply took him to be with him. Faith. Faith is the subject. Faith is that thing which we all need so desperately in our lives that we might live in this crooked and perverse world, knowing that the world twists everything to its own distorted fashion. But faith sees things in the pureness of God's mind and heart and how he explains it to us. And we are to believe things by faith, and we are to walk after the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and we are to believe God, who is the rewarder of faith. As we see at the latter part of verse 6, but must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God will reward those who diligently seek Him by faith. Faith to believe in God. The third person that we see here in this chapter is Noah. Noah, a central figure in the early chapters of Genesis, and one which is more predominantly perhaps a focus, especially to that civilization which lived in the beginning of the world. Noah was a righteous man. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The preparation of the ark was merely an assignment that Noah had, that he might do the will of God. And there are many assignments. There are many God-chosen aspects or paths or wills that we might follow. For Noah at this particular time, the assignment was that he might prepare an ark. But the thing that was truly stands out about Noah is that he was a man of faith. He did not question God. God told him to prepare an ark to the saving of his family, and so he did. And that was an act of faith. By faith, it is impossible to please him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear. There was no indication that there was going to be a flood. As far as Noah was concerned, it was a bright sunny day. As far as Noah was concerned, everything was going along pretty much normal as it always had. As far as Noah was concerned, he was taking care of his family. He was loving his wife. He was raising his children. He was planting his gardens. He was taking care of the animals that was given to his care and raising up. He was a man of faith who lived righteously and walked righteously with God. Though everybody else around him was following their own way, that every imagination of their hearts was only evil continually, the Word of God says, yet Noah was a man of faith. He walked by. Faith didn't begin with Noah when he started to pound the first nail into the board. No, Noah was walking with faith before then. He was walking with faith all along in his life. And now comes the assignment. Noah, go build me an ark. And Noah was faithful. Because Noah was faithful, he followed the warning of God, and he did what God required of him. It was his assignment to build the ark of God. It was God's will for his life. And so he began to do what God instructed him to do. I wonder if we're so willing to do that. If we will live faithfully in the path of God, if we will live faithfully for God, then we will be ready for whatever God happens to assign to us. Whatever He puts in our way, we will be faithful to do it. We all sing those hymns, Lord, I will go where You want me to go. I'll do what You want me to do. And Lord, I ought to have a passion for souls. I ought to be a preacher. I ought to be a minister of the Word. I ought to be a witness for Christ. I ought to go out and win the lost. I ought to do all these things. But what does it take first before we can do any of those things? We must be men and women of faith. We must be ready for the assignment. We must be willing to do what God wants us to do. In fact, there is no one that can go out and do any of those things which we credit to the purpose and plan of God for their lives until they have a life of faith. God must continue. God must work in them that which He needs to work in them, that He might work out through them that plan and purpose which He has determined in them. For Noah, it was that he must build an ark. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By which he condemned the world. If you walk in faith with God and do the thing that God wants you to do in your life, by that very thing, you will condemn the world. Isn't it true? That if we're witnesses for Christ, you're going to condemn the world because you're going to be preaching against sin. And the world is in sin. If you go out and you decide to follow God into the ministry and serve God in ministry, by that very act of preparing yourself for ministry and taking upon the pastorate or ministry for Christ in some form or another, you will be condemning the world. That's because you will be preaching Christ. And you'll be preaching that no man can come unto God but by Jesus Christ. You'll be condemning the world. Because the gospel does condemn the world. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But it also brings out this thing to light which the world does not want, and that is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so those who would live for God, those who would carry out the will and purpose of God, they are those who will also condemn the world. And by Noah building this ark, he did condemn those around him. Why? Because he was preaching to them that there is going to be a judgment. There's going to be a world judgment. And if you do not come to God, if you do not believe upon God that he will save you, if you do not seek your salvation in God, you will be condemned. You will die. You will all be killed. There was no little happy face, smiley face on the side of the ark that said God loves you. You know, we've all seen those little yellow smiley faces. There wasn't one on the side of that ark that said God loves you. No, Noah was preaching condemnation to them. That if they did not turn from their sin, they was going to die in their sin. They was going to be judged. There was no little happy face there. Noah was a man of faith. He had an assignment to do. He built it. He built the ark to the saving of his family. And he preached to the world at that time. He preached to them that there was going to be a judgment if they did not turn and flee from the wrath to come. And so Noah was a righteous man, and by it he became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know, it is true that as we live by faith, so we will die by faith. And it is also true that as we live by faith, day in and day out and year after year, we will be known as men and women of faith. But it will also be true that because we live by faith and we do the things that God requires of us by faith, then should also be true that we become the heirs of the righteousness of God, which is by faith. We are proving it. We are showing it that we become the heirs of the righteousness of God by faith. Perhaps you have tried to witness to someone in your own family, and you have found that whenever you try to witness to them, it's like water rolling right off the duck's back. They can't understand why you believe what you believe or why you are doing what you are doing. They do not understand what it means to live by faith or to become the heirs of the righteousness of God by faith. They do not understand that the just shall live by faith. But you do. And because you do, that is enough that you do it. That is enough reason. For God has told you that that is how you must live. And then the last one we'll look at here is Abraham in verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heir heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The first thing that we see about Abraham is that he obeyed God. He obeyed God. And we're reminded that his obedience to God was accounted unto him for righteousness' sake. Obedience in the Old Testament is akin to faith. Without even saying faith, if one was obeying God and living for God and doing what God required of them, it was to live by faith. Isn't that true today? I mean, to any Christian who knows what it is to walk by faith? Can we walk by faith and live in disobedience to God? Can we walk by faith and do the opposite thing that God wants us to do? Can we walk by faith and live in sin and live in the world and live after the flesh and live after the pursuits of the world, the pleasures of sin for a season? Can we do those things and walk by faith? I believe that we would all agree, no, we cannot. In the Old Testament, when God required Abraham to obey him and to come out of the Ur of the Chaldees and to seek another land that he would show him as he sojourned, he was walking by faith. Abraham was walking by faith. Oh, we take particular note to know that Abraham didn't do everything right. No, he made some mistakes along the way, but then so do we. But he was still sojourning. He was still walking with God. He was still seeking the direction of God, though at times in the progress of his walk of faith, he did some things which we might question and say, why did Abraham do that? Why? How come he didn't just do what God wanted him to do in the beginning? Well, how come we don't do just what God wants us to do in the beginning? Do we have any problem with instructions at times? I think we do. We usually want to throw the instruction manual to the side and just go it alone. That's the first thing we do. You buy a bicycle, you go and put it together, you don't bother to read the instructions. Say, I know how this bicycle works, I'm going to put the tires on, the handlebars go here, and the chain goes there, and the sprocket goes here, and the seat goes there. I can put this all together all by myself, and we just start right in and doing it. Because, what, we want to do things on our own. But God says, no, follow the instructions. Take the book, read it. Learn of it, understand it, follow it. By faith, believe me that I will guide you and direct you in all these things. And Abraham obeyed God, though he at times made some errors. Yet he walked with God. He sojourned with God. God sojourned with him. And we find that he was a man of faith. And he went out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. I think sometimes we feel like that in our walk of faith. We don't know where we're going, we just know we have to go. We know God wants us to live a certain way, and we don't know where that way is going to take us, except God says, live by faith, believe my word, trust in me, take unto you the whole armor of God, and put it on. And become a soldier and walk. But we don't know what's ahead. We don't know what kind of foe we're going to face next. We don't know what kind of trial is going to come at us from a distance. We don't know what it is, what circumstance will suddenly arise and overtake us like a flood. But we have to keep going by faith. We have to keep walking. Whether it be financial hardship, or whether it be physical hardship, or whether it be something else that overcomes us, we don't know how we're going to face those things. But we can walk through them by faith if we're trusting in God, if we're obeying God. And even if the outcome isn't the way we think it ought to be, if God says, walk ye in it, we are to walk in it. We're to walk by faith. Because there are some things that we just can't see. But God can. Abraham didn't know exactly where God was taking him. But he walked by faith and he obeyed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness' sake. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise. He walked through the very land that he was going to receive, and he walked right on through it and went down into Egypt. I wonder how many times we've done that. Lord, this is the land of promise, and here I keep on going. And we wonder where we're going to end up. For by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles and tents as it were, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. His children. And how God would bless Isaac, and how God would bless Jacob, the sons, the offspring of Abraham. We have to trust God by faith. And then the last verse that we see here gives us that far and distant hope which we all long for. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Everything that we see before us seems to be fading away, corrupting. You build a house and eventually it crumbles to the ground. You plant a field of trees and they grow into a forest and they're cut down. You find an oil well full of resources and eventually it's used up. A life that begins in youth ends in old age, corrupted. And the very thing that you do for a legacy to yourself in the end is forgotten. And it becomes a bleached headstone in the sun. And future generations forget who those people are. That's what happens here. But Abraham looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God, which will no longer corrupt. And that is where faith comes in. Are you looking for a city whose builder and maker is God that will not corrupt? You are. You can find it by faith. No other way. It will never be established here by man, but only by God. The just shall live by faith. Let us pray. Loving Father, we do thank you for your word and thank you for the way of faith. That we are to trust in you wholly and completely, that we are to walk after your pattern and your example, and that we are to follow in that way of faith, as even the footsteps of Jesus remind us that he lived that life which was completely without sin and was just, and he himself became that one who would die for our sins and provide the way of eternal life for us. And you require us to believe it by faith. Lord, bless your word to our hearts, and by your Spirit confirm it upon our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.